A News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We heard this week that Iowa-based Quality Egg will pay nearly $7 million in fines for crimes related to a salmonella outbreak back in 2010. More than 2,000 people fell ill due to that. 500 million eggs were recalled. The company pleaded guilty to passing off eggs as not as old as they were, to attempting to bribe a USDA inspector, and to distributing tainted food. The day after that happened this week, it was announced that two men pleaded guilty in connection with the salmonella outbreak, acknowledging their role in allowing the bad eggs to reach consumers. Jack DeCoster and his son Peter both held top positions with Quality Egg in 2010 when the 500 million eggs were had to be recalled. They each face up to a year in jail and $100,000 in fines. Seattle food safety lawyer Bill Marler is with us. He represented over 100 of the people who were sickened by this salmonella outbreak. He joins us now. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Good morning.
It's afternoon here, morning where you are, of course, in Seattle.
Good point.
You've been working in food safety law for some 20 years. How unusual is the size of this fine? Nearly $7 million.
It's really unprecedented in a food safety context. Frankly, a criminal sanction at all is unprecedented. In the first 15 years of my practice, I think I saw one, perhaps two, criminal prosecutions for misdemeanors. But, you know, in the last 3 years, we've seen not only the DeCoster prosecution, but we've seen the prosecution of the Peanut Corporation of America. And the trial actually goes this summer, felony charge. And then also the Jensen Farms cantaloupe listeria outbreak, where the two farmers were charged and unfortunately it was the death of 33 people.
Mm-hmm. What does this signal if you say these are unprecedented, these criminal prosecutions?
Well, there is clearly a change at FDA and really in the Office of Criminal Enforcement. There's a change to actually prosecute these crimes. And not only felonies, knowingly shipping contaminated products across state lines, but to charge the people in authority, CEOs, CFOs, with even unknowingly shipping contaminated product across state lines. That's what the DeCosters have been charged with, that not knowingly shipping contaminated product, but unknowingly, recklessly shipping contaminated product.
Mm-hmm. Why has it taken almost 4 years to resolve this case, if it is in fact now resolved?
Well, yeah, in many respects it is resolved. The plea has been entered. It'll be now up to the federal judge to determine the sentence. And as you correctly pointed out, these gentlemen are facing up to a year in jail and $100,000 fine each. Why it takes 4 years, not to use a cliche, but it's true, the wheels of justice do turn slowly.
Mm-hmm. So they face that amount of time, up to a year in jail, possible $100,000 fine each. The fact that they pleaded guilty, does that tell you that that may keep them out of jail?
I think it probably does not. And the reason I say that is courts, and I think it's understandable, are loath to put people in jail when the crime is one of not of a knowing nature, when you don't know that you're actually doing this. And I think that in the Jensen Farms cantaloupe listeria outbreak, even though 33 people died, there was really no solid evidence that they knew that the product was contaminated when it left their farm. But in fact, it was, and it was a huge, tragic case for everyone. The court could have potentially put those gentlemen in jail, but chose not to, put them on home detention and probation. They could do the same thing with the DeCosters. However, the elder DeCoster, Jack, has a pretty checkered history when it comes to the law and prior outbreaks, prior problems with federal courts involving immigration violations and other things. So he comes to the courtroom not really with a clean slate. And so that's something the court is going to take into account when they sentence. So I think there's a likelihood, you know, at least from my perspective, that, you know, the elder DeCoster could face some time in jail, but perhaps the younger one not.
Mm-hmm. You represented, as I mentioned at the outset, over 100 people who were sickened by this salmonella outbreak. Remind us, describe the range of symptoms, the degree of illness that your client suffered. No fatalities here?
There was one fatality in Colorado. There were almost 2,000 people sickened. The outbreak occurred over the course of over a year. Salmonella enteritidis, which is the most common form of salmonella, was the cause of this outbreak. It's a quite common cause of chicken or eggs. It took a long time for health officials to tumble to what it was that was causing all these people to be sickened. The range in illnesses, you know, go all the way to death, but for the most part, people are sick for a week to 10 days. Some of my clients were hospitalized with severe blood infections and complications. One of my clients had to have a heart valve replaced because the salmonella bacteria lodged in the valve of her heart. So it's not, you know, a tummy ache for a few days and then everything's all well and good. Serious complications can come of this.
Bill Marler, you've been involved in these types of cases for over 20 years. When we look generally speaking, and you follow them, you have a blog that follows them in great detail, all the cases around the country. Are the reasons generally that we have unsafe food when we have these outbreaks, are they unintentional or people who know better but just want to cut corners, make a little more money?
Well, you know, each one varies. I can tell you that in the first 10 years of my practice, most of my cases were E. coli cases linked to hamburger. That has nearly fell to zero. There was an unfortunate outbreak and recall in meat last week emanating from Michigan, but that's really become the exception, not the rule. The meat industry has done a remarkable job of making its products safer, and companies can learn from that. For the most part, foodborne illness outbreaks happen when people aren't paying attention to things that really are quite obvious. And, you know, of course, we always have the benefit, both as reporters and lawyers, have the benefit of hindsight to look back and go, oh, they should have known this, they should have known that. But in all the outbreaks I've ever been involved in, there's always an opportunity to sort of turn the bus around before it careens off the cliff. You know, whether it's the Jack in the Box E. coli outbreak or the lettuce E. coli outbreak or spinach or cookie dough or whatever, there are always opportunities to fix the problem if they're paying attention. And it's really paying attention that's important.
Okay, Seattle food safety lawyer Bill Marler, thank you for your expertise.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
When we come back on this News Buzz edition of River to River, we'll learn how the gnat invasion has become big business for a company in Columbus Junction. And we want to hear from you. Fill in the blank on our Facebook page. All the gnats this year make me want to fill in the blank. We'll be back. More of River to River after this short break.